Hello and welcome to News 24 on Air, our live audio service. I'm Ihlali Ntsabo. Disgraced businessman Marcus Huerta's death by his own hand on Thursday has left the country astonished as law enforcement authorities were finally on the verge of arresting him. Huerta died by suicide in Hermanas a day before he was told to hand himself over to law enforcement, News 24 has established. A source close to the matter said Huerta and former Steinhoff company secretary and head of legal, Stianan Khorobla, were told on Wednesday that they had to hand themselves over to the Hawks on Friday. On Thursday, Huerta told his wife he was going for a walk. She left to play a round of golf in the meantime. It was during this walk Huerta shot himself. Earlier this month, news broke that the Financial Sector Conduct Authority hit the disgraced former Steinhoff CEO with a 475 million rand fine for the fraud at the center of Steinhoff, which had wiped 220 billion rand off the Johannesburg Stock Exchange in a week. To give us the latest on the story, we are now joined on the line by Rob Rose, the author of Steinhaste, the inside story behind the Steinhoff scandal. Rob, thank you for joining us. Huerta went from being regarded as one of the most promising CEOs for a public company to now the face of one of the biggest fraud stories in recent years. How close exactly were the Hawks to nabbing him?
Well, the Hawks confirmed today that actually they were just about to arrest him. They told him an arrest warrant was issued 2 days ago on Wednesday for him and Stian Krobler, who was the head of legal services, Steinhoff. Mm. And they were told to appear in court this morning in Pretoria. And it seems that a day after that arrest warrant was issued, the day before he had to appear in court, Marcus Huerta then decided to take his own life.
Right, right. The FSCA had issued him with a fine of almost half a billion rand after conducting its findings. It also announced that it intended to initiate a criminal case against him. What else did the conduct authority find against him?
Well, that case which came out earlier this week was very important because it was the first major finding in a tribunal that that Huerta had committed this massive fraud at Steinhoff. It said, you know, weighing up his evidence, it said he'd intentionally lied to them. It said that he was responsible for creating these economic structures like these kind of fake companies, I suppose, with no substance.
Right.
And it basically said that any argument he had just didn't hold water. So it was a very important step in this. I mean, they'd obviously laid charges, but the police had been investigating for years, and the charges were already close to being implemented.
Right.
Fundamentally, it was an important case in the long-term swing of it, but I think it was the criminal case and the possibility that it had to stand on the dock in Pretoria that actually was the breaking point for Marcus Huerta.
Right. And Huerta was already facing two other fines from the same body.
Yeah, I mean, basically 2 years ago, they decided that, or they found that he had essentially also broken the Financial Markets Act, which sort of governs how companies can behave, by tipping off his friends. Four of his friends, he sent an SMS to saying something along the lines of essentially, you know, bad things are likely to happen. You might want to sell your shares now and get out. And then he said to them, please delete this SMS and don't tell anyone about that. And that pretty much is classic insider trading. If you have a share price and you have inside knowledge and you tell them to sell the shares or when to buy the shares, that's pretty much insider trading. So, you know, he absolutely should have faced criminal charges for insider trading too. So I suppose he had a sense of what was coming, given the fines he'd had from the regulator and the fact that the German authorities had also issued an arrest warrant for him too.
Right. And I guess also now, Rob, his death, of course, does leave a lot of questions unanswered. And primarily one of them being why Steinhoff, as you mentioned, created these fictitious companies and the fake paper entries.
Yeah, I mean, so basically they did this over more than a decade. It was, you know, it's an amazing amount of money that we're talking about, like 106 billion rand of fake money, fictitious, irregular transactions that went through Steinhoff's financial accounts. I mean, that's a massive amount of money. And you have to ask questions about, like, you have a financial structure where you have bankers that were always looking at Steinhoff's accounts and saying, can we lend to them? You had auditors, you had Deloitte, who were the auditors, who went and audited the financials and signed them off every year and said, this is all accurate. And you had boards of directors who would have overseen all this and said, okay, well, that seems right. It seems about, you know, exercising oversight. Mm-hmm. And then you had other people in the company too, you know, various layers who were responsible for checking that it was all kosher. So, you know, you had just a multiple series of failures over many, many years that led to this. It's staggering that it got to that. We talk about the largest fraud in South Africa. It is by some distance. But the fact that it was able to continue for so long, I think, is the most staggering part about it.
Yeah. And so we've been going through some of the comments in our articles. And I guess, you know, two of the biggest questions were, what does Yusta's death mean for the Steinhoff saga? And also, could his death be used by, you know, other involved parties as a form of scapegoating?
Well, just to start with the first one, I mean, I certainly think that for the second one, absolutely it will. You know, it's easier thing in the world to blame the dead guy. You can always say, well, you know, Marcus Yusta is the one who told me I needed to do this, and I was the one that was under instruction from Marcus. I was just following orders. I mean, whether any court will buy the just following orders shtick, given that we've seen that play out a million times and people know when to buy it or not, remains to be seen. But you can absolutely imagine that the people who are involved will certainly say that.
Right.
As to the first part, I mean, I think that what happens now is that, you know, a lot of people had money in Steinhoff in their pensions. There are a lot of individual investors in Steinhoff, and the public cares as well. I mean, as the regulator said this week, this was a case that kind of rocked faith in South Africa's investment markets. For foreign investors sitting outside, it made them think, well, perhaps the quality of financial accounts issued by companies just isn't that great if we have these massive frauds. So there's a massive public interest in making sure this was prosecuted and people went to jail for it. So in terms of that, you'd want the prosecuting authorities to still proceed and make sure that the evidence is ventilated and people are put in prison for this. I mean, that's what you'd want. There'll be this massive absence in any courtroom where this is discussed, because Marcus Yusta, you know, as much as he didn't do it by himself, he basically was at the center of it. The case revolved around him. So, yeah, it remains to be seen how that happens. I mean, it absolutely has to continue, and there has to be accountability for it, if only to send a message to other CEOs who'd be contemplating this, that this can't happen.
Right. And Yusta was living in Hermanus. I'm just curious to find out, how has the community reacted to his death?
Well, you know, the comments that we got so far, I mean, they talked about, people were clearly very shocked. This is a person who'd lived in the community for a long time. You know, he was part of the community. He convinced a lot of people to invest in the company, in Steinhoff, and, you know, with terrible results for them. So there was a lot of division. There were people who might have felt he'd been hard done by, and there were others who felt that he had swindled them and was a pariah.
Right.
But I think that absolutely, you know, the people who I spoke to yesterday and the other eyewitness comments we got suggest that there was a deep degree of shock at what had happened. I don't think many people saw this as a way in which this case was going to end necessarily.
Right. And Rob, before I let you go, have we received or seen any reaction from former business partners or associates?
I mean, the ones I've spoken to were very shocked by this. I mean, they were the ones who talk about, they did not expect this either. And, you know, in business circles, I don't think people regularly do this. The last time we saw a case like this was back in 2006, when Brett Kebble, who was a mining magnate who ran a couple of big mining firms, JCI, Randgold, a few others, he committed suicide. He'd arranged his own suicide after it was clear that he was about to be caught and arrested for stealing more than 4 billion rands worth of shares that didn't belong to him. And then he arranged for his own suicide. He basically contracted Glenn Agliotti and others to kill him. And that was a staggeringly outrageous case that made the front pages for years. And I think we've seen other incidents like that, but it's quite an arresting thing when it happens. There are people who worked with Marcus Yusta who feel a degree of conflict about this, in that they felt that he behaved incredibly poorly. He was a crook. But equally, this is a tragedy of immense proportions, taking your own life in these circumstances.
Right. Rob Rose, author and editor, thank you for joining us. And you can find our full and latest coverage on the case on news24.com. That's all we have for now. Until next time, I'm Mihlalin Sabo.